Down to Business on Newstalk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, helping you deal with the business of Brexit.
Now, the winners of this year's Entrepreneur of the Year Awards will be announced on the 12th of November. We have a long association with the awards here on Down to Business. Over the next few weeks, we'll be talking to some of this year's finalists, as well as some of the alumni of the awards, about some of the issues facing entrepreneurs. Indeed, their insights might be very important given all that's going on at the moment. Delighted now to be joined by one of this year's finalists, Seamus O'Hara of Carlow Brewing. I'm also joined by former finalists Peaches Kemp of ITSA and David Maxwell of Boojum, who are all in the food and drink space. You're all very welcome to the programme. We've got Peaches here in studio, and Seamus and David are remote, but we'll start with you, Peaches, if we may. You've been in this business a long time. A couple of things, Peaches. You have a number of outlets, so you're seeing maybe different things in different places, the city centre versus suburbia. Tell us a little bit about your world over the last 6 months.
Oh, where do I begin? Well, I suppose, you know, it came as such a shock back on the 13th of March, when the Taoiseach, on the 12th of March, when he first made his announcement. And really, it was adapting to that new world and looking forward to see where we were going to go. So we did a lot of planning during that stage. And then, you know, being able to open up on the 29th of June. In that period, we opened up a few of our outlets for takeaway only, as that was allowed. But then, you know, gradually from the 29th of June onwards, we were able to open up normally. And that was wonderful. It was really great. And it felt like, even though there were restricted numbers, there was a bit of semblance of normality returning to life as we knew it. Even though I think we always knew that it was never going to quite get to what it was, and it would be a long way before that was happening. And now I suppose what we're seeing is that level of uncertainty has crept back in again.
Yeah.
You know, the city centre, I don't have to tell you, is like a ghost town in terms of offices, and, you know, places are struggling in the city centre, but suburbia, that's doing really well. But I think, you know, what we're all doing, and you're seeing again, everyone's changing. We're looking at different things that we have to do every single day.
And have you availed of the temporary wage subsidies and the EWSS, those type of... Have you engaged with
absolutely,
those?
Absolutely,
absolutely. And without those, would you have survived?
No, the TWSS was so essential. It really was. And the EWSS, and, you know, the sad thing about that, I think that was put in place with the view that things would be starting to be on the up in September again. And look at where we are now again, with having been shut down in Dublin on the 19th of September. So I think it feels like one step forward, two steps back all the time.
Well, we look forward in a second, Peaches. Let's talk to Seamus O'Hara from Carlow Brewing. Seamus, you're very welcome to the programme. And we were just talking to Peaches there about consumer behaviours, behavioural changes post-COVID. In the craft brewing world, what sort of challenges have you had?
Yeah, I suppose we're kind of on both sides of the coin, in some ways, on the supplier side as a brewery and cider maker, but we also have Urban Brewing Bar and Restaurant there in IFSC in Dublin, and Brewery Corner in Kilkenny on the sort of bar side, you know, bar side of things. So we've kind of seen it from all sides. But I think, I suppose, you know, going back in March, April period, it was obviously the bottom fell out of our kind of market completely, with on-trade really kind of winding down and then closing. But I suppose what we've seen is then a big upswing in the off-trade side. So we would have kind of laid off people initially, and, you know, had to, you know, really trying to kind of batten down the hatches and try and be sustainable and see how things develop. But we saw that kind of pick up on the off-trade side, and, you know, with the help of the wage subsidy scheme and so on, we're able to get people back to work and really focus on that side of the business.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of kept us pretty busy, kept us going.
And Seamus, if we look at things like bars opening and closing, and, you know, that confusion that Peaches alluded to there, how does that affect you as a supplier to those trades?
Yeah, like, it's challenging. Like, you know, for example, you know, when you're, like, it takes 3 to 4 weeks to brew a beer, so, and package it and have it ready for the trade. So if you think it's opening, you know, as was initially, we had to take stock back when the initial, you know, close down came, and, you know, we have to clean beer lines, we have to, you know, make tidy things up technically, and that's cost. But then, I suppose there was a reopening coming down the tracks, and we had to get people back in, you know, get product produced, and then that didn't happen or got delayed. And, you know, there's been a, so I suppose it's a kind of hidden thing, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of costs to suppliers as well.
Absolutely, increased costs.
To react in the time frames, you know.
Yeah, and waste and spoilage and all that sort of
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Stay with us, Seamus, because I want to talk to David Maxwell from Bojum, and I'm interested to talk to David particularly because he operates on both sides of the border. David, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
Now, tell us a little bit about your world. I was getting dragged down slowly there after listening to Peaches and Seamus. Were you in a similar scenario?
I would say at the moment we're in a pretty, I suppose, positive position relative to the rest of the market. I think initially, back in March, we were affected like everybody else. There was all that uncertainty out there, and you know the supports weren't widely known what was going to come through, and you know the customer, it was basically turned off, and so we had a bit of a nosedive initially. But as a business, we kind of dug in and realized quite quickly what the customer wanted and what the restrictions permitted, and so we developed a kind of COVID secure, efficient operating model that really, you know, the takeaway and the delivery side of our business, which was quite strong pre-COVID, just was really strong through the last 6 months. So we've traded reasonably well through.
Okay. So you really just shifted the focus on the business, and were you able to get enough capacity in the takeout business? You were, David, yeah?
We were, yeah. So we are operating off a reduced number of stores. I mean, just like Peaches hinted at there, city centre sites are more challenged, the more suburban sites are definitely doing better, and that applies north and south. So, you know, we are, the takeaway and the delivery side of our business, we've been able to ramp up quite successfully and push a lot through our own digital channels as well as through our delivery partners. Now, that is, it sounds, you know, quite positive, and it is, but it does open up some different challenges in that, you know, as a business, we invested quite heavily over the last number of years on bricks and mortar, yeah, imagining that the customer would be walking through the front door. Now the sales mix changing, what that really means is a transfer of margin back out of our industry into some of the delivery aggregators. And so then you're looking at your fixed cost base relative to, yeah, you know, a reduced turnover and a new sales mix. So it's I think every operator, no matter how you've traded through the last number of months, has problems and facing decisions in their business that will have long term impacts. And I suppose, like, you're reluctant to make too many knee jerk type decisions now, but you are trying to imagine what the customer, what's the customer doing now, and will they still be doing that in 3 months, 6 months, a year, and you know, what are the restrictions going to do, and how am I going to be allowed to trade, and how does the customer want to trade? And then I suppose you realise just how intertwined our businesses are with, you know, just the general, you know, what's the public doing? Work from home has an impact, retail, don't push to online, less footfall, and you're just trying to constantly, you know, balance.
Follow the market.
What's happening around it, yeah.
And David, tell me this, and our listeners will be interested in this. As a business that operates on both sides of the borders, in terms of supports, give us your take on how you've benefited either from the UK supports or indeed from our own supports here in the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, it's a good question. So initially, the TWSS scheme was an absolute lifesaver, I suppose, and it allowed us, it was a much more flexible model for us in the south, and it offered much more support into our sites that were trading. In the north, we didn't have that. We had the furlough scheme, so you had some assurances that the staff were somewhat taken care of who were not working, but you know, while they were in the business, there was a pretty heavy burden for the businesses in terms of supporting all of the costs. Then there was a period there through summer where UK government, you know, they had the Eat Out to Help Out scheme. That was perceived at the time as a real success, and it was. It was accompanied as well with a reduction in VAT, and there was almost a period of, you know, I think businesses were reporting massive like-for-like sales growth, ourselves included, you know, driven by, there's probably a lot of pent-up demand, that people being able to get back out, get into their restaurants, a reduction in VAT. And I think there was a real there was a moment there where everyone was really positive about the future and what was in front of us. We were actively encouraging the Irish government to follow suit and come up with some incentive scheme that would have driven numbers into the stores in equal numbers, as well as the VAT reduction, which obviously has come through now. But
okay,
yeah, and now the wage subsidy schemes, north and south, have been announced, seem like they'll be
similar,
both supportive of trading through the next number of months.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Peaches, we'll go back to you. We're running short on time, but you know, things like VAT reductions, mm-hmm. great to see it, but yeah. you have to be trading to benefit from a VAT reduction.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think, you know, how long is this going to go on for? So we need to get back reopened, but again, when is that going to happen? I think the VAT reduction was very, very positive and we're delighted with that. The EWSS, I think, also having more clarity as to how long that's going to go on. I think that's hugely important, because even though the minister said it's not going to fall off a cliff, even if we said, you know, it's going to be until September, you know, and then they'll take a look at it again. That sort of clarity that enables businesses to plan. And I think that's the key to the survival of so many businesses, is being able to plan and to budget going forward.
Interesting, I heard Adrian Cummins of the Restaurant Association floating something that sounded like, we'll take a lockdown now, let us have Christmas, and we'll shut up again in January and February.
Mm.
I thought there was some logic to that kind of proposal, that you allow people to trade for Christmas. Now, maybe it's not in line with the medical scenario and where the restrictions are going. But I just thought that, you know, traders and everybody desperately needs the Christmas.
I think that's what we're all looking for, is to get at least 5 or 6 weeks of a run at Christmas, you know, right through December, maybe the couple of weeks afterwards as well. We know that it's going to be stop-start the whole way through, and that is the hard part about this. It's, you know, you get going, you find a bit of traction and momentum, and then it stops again. But look, all we can do is keep on trying, and, you know, with the supports that are there and continued supports, and also constantly looking at what is applicable for that period of time. And I think that's how we all have to be, the government and ourselves, what is going to work for the way we are in a particular period of time.
Seamus, we'll give you the last word. Your sector has been particularly hard hit. The pubs that don't serve food, not being able to open, the ones that do serve food with vastly restricted numbers.
Yeah.
Is the Irish pub damaged forever in your view?
I mean, I don't know about forever, but I think it's definitely damaged, and it's gone on for so long. I suppose habits will change and so on. But one of the things that maybe I would like to see, like, I totally understand in sort of emergency situation, when there's not a lot of data available, that you know, extreme restrictions are put in place, like no indoor dining and just on the terrace, these kind of things. But you know, my good feeling and from my observation is that, you know, most pubs and restaurants can operate in a way, you know, that can
safely
can be quite safe.
Yeah.
You know, but like maybe you know, now there's some breathing space, that some studies would be done to definitively, or as much as that is possible, to see, is that genuinely, you know, necessary. You know, is it a source of infection?
Well,
you know, rather than, which is totally understandable in the short term emergency situation.
No, I hear what you're saying, and hopefully we may find a way. I think that's really the trick here is to seek out a way to trade safely. I think everybody would be happy with that. Listen, I'm sorry we're short of time. I'd like to thank my guests, Peaches Kemp from ITSA, Seamus O'Hara from Carlo Brewing, and David Maxwell from Boojum. Thanks very much for joining us. And of course, Seamus is a finalist in this year's EOY Entrepreneur of the Year programme, sponsored by EY. Seamus, we wish you every success.
Appreciate that. Thanks.